Hello and welcome. I'm Claire and you're listening to Microbe Talk, the podcast by the Microbiology Society. This month, I had the pleasure of speaking to one of our members, Jake Robinson, about his experiences writing his first book, Invisible Friends. Just a quick note to the listener, we recorded this podcast over a Zoom call, so apologies for any deviations in quality of the audio. Thank you so much for coming along. It's really lovely to speak to you.
Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, really lovely to meet you. So we're kind of here to discuss your book, and it was really great that I was able to kind of get hold of a copy and give it a little, it's a massive book, it's really big. So it was great to have a little read through, and I think that this could be something really popular.
Cool, hopefully.
I suppose for the listeners and everybody, if you could introduce yourself.
Yeah, sure. So yeah, my name's Jake Robinson. I'm a microbial ecologist. Most of my work, my current work, focuses on exploring the relationship between the environment, the microbiome, and human health, and how we can potentially restore our natural environments in order to restore human health. And so I did a PhD at the University of Sheffield, which I finished a couple of years ago, a year and a half ago. And yeah, I wrote this book called Invisible Friends in the last year of my PhD, and it's sort of joins together all the topics that I studied in my PhD plus lots of other things as well. Yeah,
amazing. I mean, I literally have it written down here. You just finished your PhD. I would have had a bit of a break. I've just treated myself to a bit of quiet time. Yeah. What made you kind of go, no, I'm writing a book?
I think I've always been interested in writing, to be honest. And I wrote quite a few papers during the PhD and I just kind of got the bug for writing. So kind of bringing all these different ideas together and then writing a book just seemed quite natural, I suppose. That was really what inspired me, just the kind of love of writing and wanting to share those interesting topics.
That's really lovely. I think especially kind of in schools and stuff like that, you have this kind of concept of you're either creative or you do STEM. And it's very difficult to find this kind of blending between.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? It's like there's this war against the arts versus the sciences, which I think is a bit silly, but
yeah. And I mean, it
can do both.
Exactly. It's interesting you say that, because that brings me on to my next question. There are some lovely little illustrations in there that I think you said previously on an email that you'd done yourself.
Yeah.
What was the process of that like?
Again, I guess with some of the papers that I published in my PhD, I wanted to make the papers less dry. So I started learning how to do graphic design as well, just to try and produce some more engaging illustrations with the papers. So I think that's just another extension of that. So trying to make some of the complex topics a bit more understandable through visuals. I'm not a very great artist or anything. But it was quite a nice process to draw some of the topics out.
Yeah. I think quite often a picture can do things that just writing just can't do.
Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly. And don't bring yourself down. I love those pictures. They're great. They're way better than I would do. So don't bring yourself down there.
Yeah.
They're fabulous.
Thanks.
So I suppose kind of the central sort of topic, the focus of this book is this concept of, well, it's literally called Invisible Friends, is this concept of why are we so freaked out by microbes?
Yeah.
Why do they get this like bad rep? What is your kind of big answer to that? there are kids thinking that the germs are gonna make me sick.
Sure.
What's your response to that?
I think I grew up thinking that as well, to be honest. Like, it's just been ingrained in society for so long, over the past like 150 years or something, since germ theory was formulated, that microbes are the things that cause diseases. And obviously a few of them do, but most of them don't in humans. Most of them are either harmless or they play a really fundamental role in our health and well-being. I first started studying, so I got into microbial ecology through parasitology, actually. Huh. So I started looking at how ticks parasitize hedgehogs and then how it affects the hedgehog's behaviour. And then I started learning about the microbes that ticks could transmit but also pick up from the hedgehogs. And then some of these cause zoonotic diseases. And so I kind of learned my first studies was looking at kind of how microbes cause diseases. Mm. But then I wanted to explore more. I sort of started learning about the symbiosis, and obviously parasitism is a form of symbiosis. Mm. But then started learning about other forms of symbiosis as well. Mutualistic symbiosis, how two different organisms can live in close association and benefit each other. And I think from this learning about mutualistic symbiosis, I kind of thought, well, there must be loads of examples out there in nature where microbes are mutualistically advantageous in the relationship. I suppose this all led from there, really, like learning about the different forms of, other than parasitic symbioses, there are many other forms of symbiosis, and many of them benefit us as humans, but also our wider ecosystems as well. And yeah, I suppose it's, the book led from there to try and turn this negative and demonising perception of microbes on its head, really, and just to display some of the weird and wonderful but beneficial roles that they play as well.
Yeah, I can't go a few days without the microbiome being in the news at the moment.
Exactly.
It's quite a popular topic.
Yeah.
So I think it's going towards the right direction, and books like this will definitely help. In that kind of that vein, I mean, who is your sort of ideal kind of audience for this book?
Yeah, so I wanted it to be quite a broad audience that read it. So It could be interesting to scientists, but also just people that are curious-minded, non-scientists as well. And so I was trying to aim for that kind of mid-range complexity so that scientists, but also non-scientists, then could enjoy it as well. So that was what I was aiming for.
Yeah, no, and I think sometimes when you think about sort of science books and things, you know, the average reader who perhaps isn't very sciencey, well, oh, that's too intense for me.
Yeah.
But actually what it is a collection of ideas, and it's a collection of sort of like thought processes.
Exactly. Yeah.
And you don't have to be a microbiologist to kind of join those dots. And I think you do that really well.
Oh, thanks.
Which I did really enjoy. Perhaps maybe a bit more of a general question now. Is what do you think the role of sort of like popular science books like the one that you've written, what do you think that sort of role is within sort of science as itself and the perception of science?
Well, for me personally, I find it quite inspiring. So a lot of the ideas in the book that I wrote are from sort of ideas from other popular science books that triggered thoughts. So I see it as this kind of ecology of mind, you know, you're learning from other people's ideas constantly, and so it also triggers inspiration for your own ideas. But I think popular science, personally, I think they're important for stimulating ideas. And if you can read outside your sort of general topic of interest as well, then you can learn a lot more and diversify your ideas. And
it's so interesting you say that, because like collaboration is science in itself. That is supposed to be the backbone of it, isn't it? And it's quite often you see, you know, different disciplines borrowing from each other. Which is really nice to see. And I hadn't made that connection before. There's kind of the public perception, I suppose, of scientists is that they know absolutely everything there is to know about science.
Yeah.
But actually it's a lot about a very, very specific thing, a very specific little corner. So the benefit of scientists reading popular science books, it must be massive.
Yeah, I think so. Personally, I find them really inspiring. Again, especially if you read slightly outside your topic of interest.
So I loved the little kind of anecdote that was in there about like microbes replacing cows. I hadn't heard that before. That was really interesting to me. Is there any other kind of particular stories of interactions with microbes and how that can help us the climate crisis, for example?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. So obviously microbes are really important in climate regulation itself. So scientists learning much more about how that happens is probably an important thing to study in terms of how to respond to climate change. For the cow's milk one. So that's a really, I think it's quite thought provoking, really. I'm not sure exactly where I sit on that. I find it really interesting, and I want to reduce the impact of, you know, greenhouse gases, etc. So I'm not totally sure if I'd go for it, but I find it a really fascinating line of research to explore for sure, and how it can reduce, how microbes can be utilized or partnered with to kind of reduce the impacts of climate change. Yeah, I think there are lots of other examples. There's a chapter in the book called How Microbes Are the Glue That Holds Our Ecosystems Together. So just understanding this knowledge about how microbes hold our ecosystems together and fundamental to the functioning of our ecosystems, I think exploring that is a really important research avenue. Some of the other things I'm exploring is a concept called microbiome-inspired green infrastructure. And so this is, you know, there's lots of urban environments where we live and we're exposed to lots of pollutants, and we're reducing the trees and the green spaces in our urban environments. And it's not very good for our health. And so this concept is all about trying to draw together microbial ecology in this space and see what roles they play in this green infrastructure, and see how we can promote interactions between humans and the microbes in this green infrastructure. That's not necessarily, it kind of has an indirect role in climate change, because it's trying to promote biodiversity in our cities, I suppose.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I come at that more from how it promotes interactions between ourselves and microbes and how that benefits ourselves. And I think this plugs into the kind of broader planetary health paradigm. So, you know, to have healthy people, you need healthy environments, and to have healthy environments, et cetera. It's that kind of two-way reciprocity that's really important to look at.
Yeah, I know. That's a really, really valid point. I mean, quite often in these sort of situations, a sort of new technology is proposed quite often.
Yeah, exactly.
How do you kind of feel, how do you think sort of partnerships with microbes fits into that? Do you think that there's perhaps like a balance that needs to be drawn, or do you think that, you know, getting too excited and microbes everything, could that have negative effects, do you think?
Yeah, well, I find it fascinating. Personally, I'm an ecologist, so I'd rather take a kind of more naturalistic approach.
Mm.
But I do think that technologies have value, and obviously we're in a modern world where we have lots of technologies and we're moving forward with these sort of stuff. So I think they do play an important role. And some of it is super exciting. I wrote a chapter about biointegrated design, and some researchers have shown that some bacteria can generate electricity. And so then they're trying to take this kind of natural technology and see if they can create batteries to power all sorts of devices and things. And this could end up being, a really sustainable way of generating energy. So,
yeah. So
it's really exciting, the like, biotechnology world at the same time. But yeah, it does feel kind of conflicting being an ecologist to suggest these things.
Yeah.
But I think we do need to strike that balance as well. It's a great question though.
I prepped a little bit and everything. apologies if you kind of perhaps touched on it before, but there's lots of lovely anecdotes and things that have gone through in this book. Do you have a particular favourite that you're really excited by or that really surprised you?
In the book, I find the psychobiotic revolution and this kind of idea that microbes could be influencing our behaviour, I find that really, really interesting.
Yeah.
So I interviewed Professor John Cryan from Cork in Ireland on that. So he's the kind of the big wig of the psychobiotic revolution.
Oh, yeah.
And the kind of understanding the links between the microbiota in the gut and the brain and the kind of two-way communication system that links them together.
Yes.
I find that super interesting.
Yeah.
So that was really cool to write about.
Yeah.
But yeah, just in general, though, what I've learned from microbial ecology in general is I like to say this phrase, everything you can see in nature intimately depends on everything you can't see. So just when you look at plants and animals, I kind of look at it now as in like you're each one of these things I look at is an ecosystem. It's a community. It's not just a single entity. And I find that quite inspiring to think about.
Quite mind-boggling, isn't it?
Yeah, quite mind-boggling, yeah. But yeah, just really inspiring as well, just to look at a tree and not just think of it as the above ground part with the wood and the leaves, etc. There's this whole complex community underground that you can't see. But also within the tree's cells above ground, it's just this, yeah, it's quite beautiful to think about. I like
yeah.
it.
Yeah, quite overwhelming as well, I assume.
Yes, yeah, overwhelming as well, in a good way.
How did you find, was it a completely different way of working, writing this book, to doing more, you know, traditional, I'm air quoting, yeah. like traditional scientific research? Was it, how alike was it? Yeah.
Yeah, I think the process is quite similar in terms of setting aside some time to focus. But yeah, just the writing style is obviously a lot different. So
yeah,
that does take quite a bit of refining. Trying to provide that kind of journalistic writing style, I suppose, as opposed to that quite dry science writing style that you normally see in papers. But yeah, I think that's just try and write blogs, those sorts of things. So do it in small chunks.
Mm.
If you can write blogs about your research,
yeah,
just so you know, 500 words. It's quite a bit maybe to start with, but eventually you'll get the hang of it. Just try writing more creative outputs, blogs, articles for places like The Conversation, that kind of stuff.
Mm.
And then eventually you'll get it all just fall into place that you'll pick up with more of a journalistic style, and then hopefully it'll become easier to write the book.
Yeah, yeah. I think we're definitely going to inspire lots of scientists to you know, pick up the reins and put me out of a job. You mentioned kind of about sort of popular science books, and I actually just wanted to ask you, do you have a favorite book that, you know, really inspired you to do this?
Yeah, it's weird actually. The first thing that comes to mind is a Robert Sapolsky book, even though it's nothing to do with microbiology. Just I love his writing style. So he's written a recent-ish book like a few years ago called Behave, and it's all about how it's all about human behaviour at our worst and our best moments. But it talks quite deeply about the neuroscience of it all. But one of his books that really inspired me, it kind of changed my life, actually, in a weird way, changed how I approach like stressful situations, etc. I read this maybe 10, 15 years ago. It's called How Zebras Don't Get Ulcers. Even the title I found was really cool. It kind of draws me in, like, what? So I recommend reading that. I think he's done an updated version of it as well, so it shouldn't be out of date kind of thing. But it's all about how... just, you know, evolutionarily we've adapted, or our systems have adapted to escape predation, that kind of stuff. And so our endocrine systems kick in and we've got this fight or flight response. But we're actually doing that for micro stressful moments at the moment. So if you're stuck in traffic, if you're late for work, if you're, you know, that kind of stuff, there's smaller things that aren't, that shouldn't really be that significant in life. But we're constantly triggering this, this endocrine response, this hormonal response. Which was made, which developed particularly to escape predators, you know, on the savannah, etc. And so it's the same, once you recognize this, you can kind of teach yourself through neuroscience techniques how to recognize these moments and not allow your body to react in such an overreactive way.
Yeah, it segues me on quite well to my next question, actually. I think about, you said about this kind of change of your mind frame from reading this book. Is that what you're hoping to get from the readers of Invisible Friends?
Hopefully, for some of them, maybe just to, as I say, I want to tip this negative perception of microbes completely on its head and just provide kind of hopefully engaging, insightful stories about how microbes are really important and how we should be respecting them, just like all other forms of life. And just to try and notice symbiosis everywhere, like I do now, is hopefully, I hope that's a kind of takeaway message, and that changes people's view on certain things. How we see the so-called see the unseen world. That would be great, but who knows? The wait for the reviews.
I suppose I've asked a lot about other popular science books, and I'm realising I'm not quite doing my job here. Where can we get a hold of of the book?
So this is recorded just before it's published, so it was published on March the 7th in the UK, and I think it comes out a few weeks later in the US, and it's available in Australia and other countries as well. But you can buy it through Pelagic, so that's the publisher, so Pelagic Publishing, or Amazon or bookshop.com. I think that's the preferable one, because I think it actually provides some money to independent bookstores. So just anywhere really on the internet. Hopefully it'll be in bookstores soon. But
I guess it's great to have you before it's getting released. How are you feeling?
Yeah, I'm feeling really excited, actually. So from finishing the book, the first draft of the book, to getting it published, has been quite a long time. So it's been with the publisher for well over a year. And so it goes through this process of, you know, sending out to copy editors and just getting a slightly more refined feedback from different people, and then you work on it and refine it, etc. So that process has taken like a year or something. So so it's weird because it's kind of slowly built up, but it's also dragged on a little. but now it's only a few days away, so it's super exciting, can't wait.
Amazing. And you can that'll be a great for Christmas this year. You can be like, everyone gets a book.
Here you go, everybody.
Yeah. That's definitely what I would do, 100%, 100%.
Yeah, my mum's like, what? Microbes? Yeah. No, really.
Yeah, fantastic. I always ask at the end of any interview, is there's anything that I didn't touch on that you wanted to add and make sure you get across? Now's your time.
I don't think so. It's been a really nice interview. What's your favourite popular science book? Sorry, I'm interviewing you now.
No, I love it. Do you know Angela Sayani?
No, I don't.
She wrote a book called Inferior. I would really recommend it, by the way.
I think I've heard of it, actually. Yeah, I think someone else has mentioned it to me. I'll give it a read. Sounds great.
Yeah, fantastic. But obviously, listeners at home, you've got to read Invisible Friends first, is that? it's been an absolute pleasure speaking to you. Thank you so much for taking the time to have a chat.
You too. Thanks for interviewing me.
Thank you for listening to Microbe Talk. If you like this episode, please leave a comment wherever you're listening.